Well, good morning. Welcome to the LifePoint Drivecast. Happy Monday to you. My name is Dean Folks, the lead pastor at LifePoint, and I do the majority of teaching at the Lewis Center campus. And we finished up our I Am series this past weekend by talking about John 20. One of the first things we talked about at the Lewis Center campus is this whole idea that belief is impossible. You've got this narrative where Peter and John show up at the tomb, but the only reason they show up at the tomb after the crucifixion is because Mary has gone and told them, she's been there, and she realizes, or she believes she realizes anyway, that someone has stolen the body of Jesus. So Peter and John come to have a look. Now, the irony of all that is, here's Jesus who's taught them over and over and over again that he's going to die and rise on the third day. He's taught it so much that his enemies know it. That's why they place guards at the tomb. But still, Mary, Peter, and John, and of course, all the other disciples as well, but specifically them in the narrative, they don't get it. They don't know it. They don't see it. They should have known it not only from what Jesus said, but from their history. We talked just a little bit briefly about Yom Kippur and the Day of Atonement and how the high priest would lay his hands on the head of one goat that would be sacrificed for the sins of the people once a year. And on the same day, then he would lay his hands on the head of a second goat, pray for that goat, and it was taken away, far away outside of the camp to represent not only the sacrifice of sins, the first goat, but the second goat to represent the removal of sins and the freedom from sin. That goat was called the Azazel, was the name that was given to it in the New Testament, which is a word that just means away with him, because that goat was going to go away and it wasn't going to come back. There was no way they were going to bring that goat back into the camp. It was also called the scapegoat. So we talked about all that to say this, that not only do we see God's love for us and the removal of sins on the cross, the taking away of sins by being our sacrifice, but in the resurrection, what we see is that God has given us freedom from sin. He's taken them away from us, removed them. The scriptures say as far as the east is from the west. So you see both in the crucifixion and in the resurrection, both a payment for sin and then the glorious freedom from sin. And it's interesting, we just talked about in the text that whenever Pilate says, listen, what am I going to do with Jesus? And we all remember the people saying, crucify him. But there's another thing they also said. They said, away with him, away with him, which would have been the Hebrew word Azazel. That would have been the same thing, that Jesus is the one. The resurrection means that he takes our sins and removes us far, far from them. So we said all that to say this, that when it comes to, and we see in the crucifixion, and particularly in Peter, John, and Mary, is that God connecting faith is not something that we just conjure up on our own. God connecting faith, it's not that we just say, you know, one day I'll do this when I'm ready. No, whenever we sense God drawing us and pulling us, and obviously if Peter and John and Mary couldn't do that on their own, right? They couldn't figure that out on their own. Neither can we. When God is speaking to us, when we feel drawn to Christianity, when we say, well, wait a minute, maybe there's more to, maybe Christianity is a little more coherent, a little more interesting than I thought. You and I need to chase that. Our friends that we know who maybe are not believers need to chase that, because faith is not necessarily do it yourself. You can't just say, well, you know what, someday I'm going to become a Christian. Someday, maybe when I'm a little older and I have a little less hair and maybe a few extra pounds, I don't think I can have as much fun, then I'll respond. You are assuming that faith is do it yourself, that it's kind of DIY, but the scriptures do not teach that. The scriptures, as a matter of fact, teach something that's just the opposite, that when God speaks, we respond, right? When, if you're an actress and someone calls you and says, hey, we want to cast you in the next Spielberg film, you don't say, okay, I'll be there next week. No, if they say be there on Monday, you show up on Monday at 4 o'clock whenever they say that you and I need to be there. So my encouragement to you today is, if God is speaking to you about something, listen, respond to that today. The scriptures say today is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. So let's just take a minute right now and let's pray, and let's just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us any area of our hearts or our lives, maybe that have become hardened to God, where he's spoken to us and that we haven't not only heard his voice, but listened to his voice and responded to it. Let's pray that right now. And God, if there are hardened areas in our hearts, if there are areas that you've spoken to us about, And we've closed our hearts off to you. God, we pray that you would, just like the prophet Hosea said, break up the fallow ground of our hearts. God, we want to be tender and responsive. We believe you know better. We believe that our lives look more like your son when we follow you. And so, God, we want to respond to you instead of doing things our own way, on our own schedule, on our own calendars. And I pray today, God, that you will help us to do that. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, once again, thanks for being with us today for the Drivecast. And we hope to see you back tomorrow and the rest of the week.